This is a Triple J podcast.
There are so many really healthy, thriving people at the moment who are in relationships that, you know, that started from work.
Hello, hope you're well. Dee with you for the Hookup Podcast, where we talk all things love, sex, dating and relationships. And as you know, on the Thursday, we like to delve a bit deeper with the topic that Pip and I chat about on the podcast on Tuesdays. And on Tuesday, we did an episode about hooking up with co-workers or getting into relationships with people you work with. And we heard from so many of you about your stories and about your experiences. And a lot of you were like, don't shit where you eat. It'll go badly. Nearly 40% of you had a bad experience with hooking up with someone at work. So Pip and I were like, we need to get an expert in the room and chat about how, if you are firstly going to do it, how to do it well and make sure that nothing goes wrong. So really excitingly, we've got couples therapist from Freedom Couples Counseling, Jill Jarde, with us in the studio. Jill.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so when Pip and I posted about this on our Instagram and spoke to our listeners for that vodcast, 62% of people said that they'd done some sort of hookup relationship, something with a coworker. Mm-hmm. How common, from your experience chatting to people, do you think that this is?
So common. It is massively common. Probably feels a little bit understated at the moment because, you know, like 50% of couples meet online, right? Through like online dating. However, like there is a lot of research stats, and I see it a lot in sessions, where a lot of couples are meeting through workplace, which makes so much sense. And a lot of these are actually the kind of long-term committed relationships as well.
I have a lot of friends who have met their partners through work, and one of my really good friends has only ever had partners that she's met through work. So it's definitely a thing for a lot of people.
Yes.
Why do you think they are so common?
Oh, listen, it makes so much sense. Do you know what I think when I think about like workplace, like relationships? It's sort of like you have a seat at the stage of someone else in terms of like their character. You know, you get to sort of see how they work. What are they like with other people? What are they like in like shitty environments? What are they like under pressure? You know, are they funny? Are they calm? Are they good at what they do? Are they hot? Are they sick? Like you kind of have like this access to people that you probably don't initially have when you just start dating someone. And also like you cut through all of the highlight reels that you get when you're like, you know how a lot of people when they're like dating, they've already done like all of the background like investigations, the SAS type, you know, like all of the taxon number, I've checked their LinkedIn, I see they like to travel, you know, like all of that stuff. So you kind of, and those are only highlight reels, like it's not real. But when you get to, I guess, see people in real life and you're working with them, and I guess the other kind of big thing is there's a lot of shared experiences that you have when you're working with someone else, and there's a lot of bonding that comes with that, and there's a lot of kind of like intimacy that you have with your work colleagues. So naturally, like it just kind of makes sense that, you know, when you're having these like really deep interactions with these people that you see more than anyone else, it makes sense that you would form like more attractions. So your friend is good. Like she needs to have a workshop or something.
Well, that's what Pip and I spoke about. We were like, are they hot or do you just see them 9 to 5? Like, do you think there is a bit of a proximity bias that happens and we only fall for people because we genuinely do just see them every single day? And so something in our brain happens where we're like almost used to them.
Yes. Yes, that does happen. So there's a term called mere exposure effect, which is essentially because you are seeing people all of the time and you're sort of constantly exposed to them and you become quite familiar with them. And so this sense of because I'm familiar, like sometimes people can get that mixed up with attraction.
I spoke about that in the app. I was like, because I hooked up with my boss when I was like 19. But I found that when I left that workplace, in hindsight, I was like, oh, I would have never, ever have done that in the real world, quote unquote, real world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have swiped on you on an app and I probably wouldn't have approached you in a bar. But it was just the fact that, firstly, I just needed a little crush to get through the day. Which, do you think that's also something that happens?
Like, such a thing. I feel like we need to like embrace crushes. Like crushes need their own little stadium of like, you know, thank yous, because it does actually get you through the day. It does make the workplace or work a lot more exciting. And so, like, do you know when you have a crush, like, it's like a full dopamine hit, right? So all of, like, the feel-good, like, energy that we get. So, yeah, absolutely, you tend to feel better about yourself. You make yourself look cuter. You know, like, you look forward to going to work. So absolutely, completely.
What about the taboo and forbiddenness of it? We heard from so many listeners who said that they, you know, would hook up in the elevator. They would hook up in the cool room or whatever it was.
Not the cool room.
Yeah, someone got a blowjob. Someone said that they got a blowjob when they were, like, behind the till.
Where are these workplaces?
I know. Do you think
put them in the comments? No, I'm joking.
Seriously, though, but I'm like, people are loving, like, the secret affair at work.
Yes.
Do you think that plays in the humanness of us loving tabooness to do with sex? Do you think that plays a huge part?
1,000%. It absolutely does, because it's exciting. There is something about things that are forbidden. They're kind of naughty. It's hidden. It's a secret. That's, you know, it's like really passionate, and like it fuels the experience, actually.
Well, when we asked our listeners about it, a lot of them had said, like I said, 62% of them had done this, some sort of something within a coworker, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it went well or that it was a good idea, right? So we asked people, how did it go?
Yeah.
50% said it ended amicably, which is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
34% said it ended badly.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were like, don't shit where you eat.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea to hook up with a coworker or have a relationship with someone you work with?
Okay, I don't see it personally as a black and white response. Like, I think that sometimes you just kind of have to think through what it is. So firstly, like, is it like a crush? Like, is it just this like really cool thing that I have in my mind that's just in my head? Do you know, is it just that or is it something else? So I think that you kind of have to be really mindful in terms of like, yeah, firstly thinking about what it is. And secondly, I think that sometimes it's actually like a good thing. There are so many really healthy, thriving people at the moment who are in relationships that, you know, that started from work. And those relationships are probably ones founded on like really like good foundations. Like they've got a good friendship. There's like, you know, like a sense of respect and that kind of thing there. So like for those people, like you wouldn't say like, don't do it, because actually it does work out for some. However, like I do think that you do have to proceed with caution. And so, you know, for people who are saying, actually, it didn't work out well for me, which is a lot of people probably, and you think of all the people who haven't like put their hands up to say that they've, you know, had these experiences at work, so it's probably underreported. But I think also that, you know, like it proceeding with caution is because of the implications if it doesn't go well. So it's okay if it's just, you know, just didn't really work out. But for some people, not going well is actually, you know, my job.
Yeah,
Or having to leave work, or now having to stay in a role with somebody who we, you know, we're not amicable at all. We have to be in meetings together. One of us had to look for another job. Like all those kinds of things, like that part is why you really need to be mindful.
Yeah, we heard from so many people who said that they were like, I couldn't handle seeing them every day, so I ended up just getting a new job. Or people who said that there was all this, like, you know, game playing and bitchiness and stuff going to HR and, you know, things just going completely pear-shaped.
And colleagues and also, like, co-workers taking sides as
yes,
well can be a big
and
one
gossiping.
Too. Yeah.
So let's chat about how to do it with, like, have this kind of relationship with caution, right? Let's talk about how to do it well.
Yeah.
If you are into a co-worker at work, how should you go about it?
Yeah. Okay. So again, first thing is to really establish what it is in your mind first. Is it like a crush? So is it just something that if I did see this person, if I met this person at a party, like would this be a thing or not? Or is this something that like it's kind of, because you know crushes can be like on and off, do you know, like, oh, I was really feeling him or her and then it just wasn't. So I think really if it's something that you want to pursue, I would say you need to read the signs with the other person. So are they interested as well? Like, do they appear to be crushing back or is it just you? And I do think that, not that this is the sexy part, but that requires a level of communication. And it requires communication that is, I guess, clear, but allows the other person to kind of speak their truth. So whether that's like, oh yeah, like I'm kind of interested or, you know, like, or, you know, maybe they're just not, but I guess how it's phrased is really important. And also I would say, like, don't make steps on assumptions. Like, just don't assume. Like, what are the signals that they're giving you back? What's their body language like? How are they responding to some of these conversations that you might be having? Like, are they kind of giving you green light signals? Are they giving you the red signals? Like, you're getting a lot of boundary responses. Or are you kind of getting amber, like the kind of like, oh, I'm not sure what that was. So if you're getting like amber type responses, which I would call like the more the mixed signal kind of vibe. Do you know the vibe I'm talking about?
Absolutely, yeah.
Then I would like be proceeding even more cautiously. Like I'd be trying to find out a bit more.
Is that something that you could just say outside of maybe the workplace, depending on the circumstances of where you work, like, hey, like I'm picking up on a bit of a vibe.
Yes.
Am I making this up?
Yes.
Like, how do you
feel? Is this just me? Or, hey, I'm really enjoying spending time with you. Like, I was wondering, is it just a me thing? Or do you like something like that? I would say yes, preferably outside of work. And in a space that, again, allows a sense of, like, freedom. So it's not something that you're sort of locked into or they're not locked into. You know, it might be like going for coffee or something or going for a walk, that there are easy exits.
Yeah. And also, like you said, proceeding with caution, because it could just be seen as like there's no boundary crossing if you're like just getting a coffee and they agree to that, you know what I mean? Or going for a walk and it's like.
That's right.
Very light.
It's
like
very
dating
light
if it's going to go into dating territory.
Absolutely.
What if it's a hookup at a Christmas party or a work function, which we know happens?
Yes.
What's the best way to deal with it? Like, it's obviously important to, if you vibe off someone and you're feeling something and you're interested, to have those conversations. But what if it just accidentally happens, or like you both go home together, or how should you handle that moving forward?
Yeah. Okay. So you essentially, like, firstly, I think don't make such a big thing of it. Do you know how, like, you know, there's that next morning or next day, like, potential like freak out that some people have? I'm sure not everyone does, but some people are like, oh my gosh, like it's this massive catastrophe. And I think it's actually it's not the biggest thing that happened. You just hooked up with somebody at work, and yes, like maybe it wasn't what you had planned for your evening or for whatever it was, but that's all it was. Like, I think making it what it is in your head. I think the other thing is like doing like what I like to call like aftercare, which is like a really chill like check in with the other person. So, and again, this is about assumptions. Like, you know, we're not assuming that everyone is fine. Like, it's actually just like a, hey, just checking in, you know, like brief.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of like on the same kind of page and you're feeling a little bit more aligned as to like, is this kind of like a, oh, it was just a, you know, a one-time hookup thing? Or, you know, like, I think that's really important, because I think that's where we get ourselves into a lot of trouble.
100%. And also maybe chatting around, like, are we keeping this to ourselves?
Yes.
We heard from a lot of listeners who said, I thought we were not telling people at work and it was something that we were keeping to ourselves and a bit of a secret. And then I found out that they told everyone that we hooked up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awful.
I know. And then you're like, these are your colleagues, right? And then you have to go to work and people are whispering about your weekend or whatever it is.
Another really important thing to do, which I touched on before. So pretty much you just need to do this all throughout any relationship, but especially in workplace like kind of relationships, is checking in always. So even no matter at what point that is, if that's just like a, hey, is this like, you know, do we want to go further in terms of, do we want to go on a date, or are you into me as well, or hey, you're actually about to hook up? Like, I actually think it's really, really, really important to get like a form of kind of consent and making sure that we're aligned and on the same page.
Completely.
Yeah.
Consent is so important, like you said, in every single interaction.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we look at those maybe like ended badly stuff. Like a lot of it is just because these conversations aren't had and things get really messy.
Yeah.
And you haven't really established where the relationship is going
or what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. What if there's a power imbalance? Like it's your boss or your manager, or the other way around, like you're a boss or a manager and, you know, everyone's obviously consenting. But what do you think you need to think about or talk about around that dynamic?
That's a big one.
It's big, isn't it?
They're so big, these ones.
I know, because I think about me, 19-year-old me.
Yes.
My manager would have been mid-20s, I reckon.
Yes.
But like, I don't know. I was like, I'm fully into this. I didn't feel like there was some sort of power imbalance there.
No. And I think because like when you're in it, you're not thinking about that. Like you're just kind of like tunnel vision in terms of like all of the like the good like vibes and that kind of thing that you're thinking about the relationship. But whether it's acknowledged or stated or said, like every relationship has a power dynamic. Like they do. And you can't kind of hide that. And so I think if you're kind of the one in like the interaction or in the relationship where it's you're hooking up with like one of your superiors, like there has to be a level of consent first, but also a sense of like freedom that I can like say no, speak my mind, either before, during or after, whatever this might be. And so actually the truth is for a lot of people, maybe like whether they might not be thinking about the start of the relationship, but maybe like during, like maybe if we have issues in our relationship or I don't, you know, I want to stop this relationship, like can I confidently say no without there being a huge consequence on my career, on my finances, on my, you know, professional standing? Can I do that? And so that's actually the power part that I guess sometimes goes really unspoken, but it's there.
That's such great advice. Like, think about the future you, right?
Yeah.
Like, 19-year-old me could have thought, will I get fired if I say no to this man?
Yes.
And I probably would have, I wouldn't have, but, like, I probably would have been like, oh, well.
Yeah.
I didn't want to work here anyway. But you know what I mean? It's like thinking ahead about those scenarios. How's he going to act if I reject him?
How's he going to act if I, exactly. Or if he turns out being an absolute jerk as a part, like, you know, all these kinds of things, they're actually real scenarios that can happen. But yeah, we all need to be in relationships where we feel safe to like speak our truth and kind of honor ourselves. And so if there's ever like a question mark, like you kind of firstly need to pause about that. And secondly, either have a conversation about what that is, what that could potentially look like for yourself. And I think if you're the flip side, so if you're kind of like the more the superior one, also having to acknowledge that part. And I think they play a bigger role when it comes to these things. I think they really need to like be super cautious and be really aware of like actually that there's a power dynamic here.
There's a
responsibility.
They have.
Yeah.
What about if you're in a long-term relationship? You work together and you live together at home.
Yeah.
Let's take away the boss manager scenario. Yeah. You're just like two co-workers, you work together, whatever that is. How do you make sure that you keep a good balance between work and home life?
Yeah. No, that's such a good – I see these couples.
Yeah. Or people who own a business together, that is wild to me.
I know. But the people do it, and some people do it really well. Listen, it can be a lot of tension because what actually happens is like your relationship in some ways is blurred now a bit, like between like, okay, the business me or like the workplace us, if you want to call it that, and the like the couple us. And so like all of the things, they just kind of come into this like melting pot, and usually at some point like a lot of couples, like that's when they come in for therapy because it just doesn't work. And so what I would talk to them about is you actually have to have boundaries. Like you really have to have like a set of boundaries of like actually when we're at work and also like what time and the boundaries, like if I'm being specific, is between, I don't know, 9 a.m. or like 5:50 p.m., we are work colleagues, like, so how is it that we're going to address each other if there is a work-based issue? Maybe we're only going to talk about those things, like, in our working hours, but, you know, from 6:30 to, like, whatever time, you know, I'm your boo, like, you know. And so we're not going to talk about work because I ain't your work colleague now. Like, this is, they're going to be very separate entities. And so you do have to have conversations around, like, what's that going to look like? And for some people, that's actually around rituals. Like, how do I close, like, that portion of us and how do I enter, like, this new portion of us? Like, we're at home or with our friends and now with our family and then we kind of enter into – does that kind of make sense? Because
– Totally, totally.
Like, your language, your communication when you're at work should not be how you're kind of speaking to your partner. And I don't mean, like, in the cutesy kind of, like, romantic, sweet, soft sort of side. I actually mean, like – you know, the things that might come up in session could be that you know, a couple has had like a really big falling out and now they're at work or now they're at their business and like they're talking to each other in a really like kind of condescending way. It's now kind of filtering into their work and filtering into what they did or didn't do. And it's actually not even about the work. It's about like what you did. You didn't put the bins out last night. And do you get what I mean?
Like, and then you were in the office or wherever you were.
Yeah.
And people are like, what happened to you guys? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You can feel people's energies when they come into work.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be, bringing that into a workplace, no matter what it is, and other people getting kind of impacted by that.
Absolutely.
I've got friends as well who have worked together, but then in the same industry, met at work, then got into different workplaces, but they're almost like competing workplaces. And so that's really funny as well, because now they have to come home together and like not talk about work because they might disclose stuff that the other person might, which I'm like, that's a whole other separate niche dynamic, but it's so fascinating. What about your tips, your best tips for navigating a breakup when you work together? Because we had a lot of listeners who said, like I mentioned, left the job because they couldn't handle seeing them every day. Or like we were talking about, you know, gossiping and things getting messy.
Yeah.
What are your best tips for navigating that?
Yeah. Firstly, like workplace breakups, they suck. They are so hard. And obviously it's like the added layer as well of having to like go into work together. So I guess my tips are this, like firstly, like have like a conversation and a discussion around like what's this going to look like for us now. Like the truth of the matter is we still have to go to the same workplace. So like who are we telling? What are we telling them? How can space or what can space actually look like when we're at work? I would say like where you can not have like the drama. Do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes that can filter into like a workspace. So usually what I say to couples when they've split up or broken up or they're separated but they still have to be in contact with each other is you can be like businesslike and courteous. So that actually just looks like, you know, I'm being respectful. I'm kind of talking to you like I'm in a job interview, so I'm not like pouring my heart out at you, but you know, it's kind of a needs to know kind of conversation and chat. Like that's usually the best way to try and do it. Not easy, but it is necessary. And the other thing is like maybe if you're trying to get support, which you will need, is to have support outside of work, just because of, you know, for some workplaces, the messiness of like co-workers and all of the politics and, you know, people taking sides and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So you kind of need to have a support network that is purely, solely, selfishly just for you. And then I think also like probably more something like at the beginning of a relationship, but I think having a level of understanding in terms of like what your workplace, not rights are, but what your workplace agreements kind of thing are as well, like what that sort of looks like.
Yeah, if you have, depending on where you work, maybe a good relationship with your bosses or manager or whoever, you might be able to have that conversation around what's happening and then find, like you said, ways to create that space and make sure that, you know, maybe you get taken off that thing and they get put on that thing or just at least for the first couple of months.
Well,
you don't want to be in a room just crying, you know what I mean, while you're trying to do a presentation because they're sitting in front of you.
Exactly.
Like no one wants that, you know.
Or aggressively saying a presentation, but knowing they're in front of you.
You could totally understand why people really,
oh, it's a hard one.
Yeah, it's really hard. But Jill, this has been such a great chat and I feel like 19-year-old me would have probably learned a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
19-year-old, would she have listened to this?
I think she would have. I think she would have been like, do you know what? It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because I would have reflected and been like, no, this is just a crush.
It's just a crush. But you're not, like, I guess the other thing, I don't know if I said this earlier, but, like, I guess, like, these, like, the hormones, like, they, because it can make you feel like tunnel vision, it also kind of impacts your decision-making capacity. And so this is where, like, it stuffs us up even more because we're just thinking about, like, how we're feeling. We're not really looking at the situation for what it actually is.
Yeah. Whereas if I'd listened to you now, I would have been like, okay, take a breath.
Take a breath.
Think about this really.
Exactly.
Because you wouldn't date this guy. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun.